makers of Grape Nuts bring you George Burns and Gracie Allen with Tony Martin, Ray Noble and his orchestra, and yours truly, John Cox. All right, Ray. One, two. The vital food energy everyone must have to carry through till noontime feeling swell. Why, an average serving of Grape Nuts, that's two tablespoonfuls with whole milk or cream and fruit, contains more varied nourishment than many a hearty meal. And so remember that in the case of children who aren't hungry in the morning, or adults who prefer a light breakfast, Grape Nuts make even a light breakfast a safe breakfast. A breakfast that's packed with food energy. So start off the day right with Grape Nuts. Your grocer has them in the yellow and blue pack. Roses are red, violets are blue, almonds are nuts, and so are George and Gracie. And here they are, those two Grape Nuts.
Thank you. Oh, Gracie?
George, yeah? You better be careful with me tonight.
I better be careful?
Yeah, and that goes for you too, George.
I say.
You better not stop on my toes tonight, or I'll tell you a thing or a couple.
A thing or a couple?
Yeah.
You mean a something or two, that's what you mean. Gracie, you don't sound very happy.
Oh, I'm happy. It's my uncle who saw.
Gracie, say hello.
Hello.
Well, that's better. Now, what's your uncle saw, though?
Well, when he went to bed last night, he hung his underwear on the bench and somebody in the park stole it.
Your uncle sleeps in the park?
Well, certainly. What do you think he's got, insomnia?
Suppose he sleeps in the park and then he dreams that he's staying at the Ambassador Hotel.
No, their rates are too high.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. You see, Unky is trying to cut down expenses, so he just dreams that he has a small room at the Biltmore.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
If your Unky keeps on sleeping on a park bench, he'll be known as Rent-Free of the Mountain.
That's very funny, George.
That's my own stuff.
I think you've got a great future in Yuma.
You mean Yuma, comedy.
No, Yuma, Arizona.
Quiet.
George, old boy.
Yes, Ray.
Well, I say, didn't you notice anything?
No.
Well, how do you like this suit I'm wearing?
Oh, it's beautiful. Is it new?
No, it's 6 years old.
6 years old?
Yes, this is the first time I've worn it.
Well, why didn't you wear it when you first bought it?
Well, I was very stout in those days, you see. And then when I went for a fitting, I couldn't get it on.
Ray, if you get any thinner, you'll look like an umbrella standing in the corner.
Yeah, and if Ray had a corner, he could open a cigar store.
I know.
If he had my uncle, he could open a safe.
Oh, quiet with your uncle. Your uncle is silly. It's a silly uncle.
Would you believe it, George? I lost 10 pounds since I bought this dress.
What did you do, diet?
Yeah, it's always in this house.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
George, I'm still at the microphone.
So what?
Well, haven't you forgotten something?
Oh, yes, they went that way.
Thankfully.
Yes. Ray, why don't you go back to sleep in the park with Gracie's uncle?
The park?
Yes.
Sounds like a charming place. Is it exclusive?
Oh, definitely. They only allow one bum on a bench.
Say, George.
Yeah, yes, Tony.
I saw your picture down from Distress last night at the Pantages Theater, and it was swell.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, Tony.
Gracie and John Carney were sitting with me, and you know me, George. I'm a pretty tough critic.
Well, Tony, coming from you...
It's... You might not have been awfully good in this picture, but I still think it's the best picture you ever made.
Well, thanks, Tony, and don't think I'll forget this when your option is due for renewal.
Don't listen to Tony, George. If you'd have been any better, you'd have been pretty fair.
Call that a pretty nice compliment.
Sure, it's better than you can get from anybody else.
Well, then I'll take a case. Yeah.
George, remember the part in the picture where you tell that joke to Fred Astaire?
Yeah, that was quite funny. I enjoyed that
Tony
part.
Oh, Tony wasn't hysteric.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Oh, I'm telling you, Tony laughed his head off.
Really?
Oh, well, he was laughing so hard that the usher had to come down and take the funny paper away from him.
I say, while I was telling a joke, Tony was reading a funny paper.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, you certainly surprised me.
Yeah, he surprised me, too. I didn't know he could read.
Well, I didn't either.
I say, George, if you're writing jokes for a funny paper, here's one I made up. Who is it that lives at the Biltmore and sleeps on a bench?
You sure you made that up?
Oh, yes.
Lives at the Biltmore and sleeps on a bench. Judge Sam Trallifass.
No, Grace's uncle.
Oh, go away.
Oh, why don't you all stop ribbing George about his picture?
That's all right, Johnny. They don't worry me.
Well, they shouldn't, George. I saw the picture, and you can't be as bad as everyone says you are.
Oh, we could, too.
Yeah, well, wait till you see me in our new Paramount picture, Collar Swing.
Yeah, oh, you love George, Johnny. Mm. Why, I do a scene with George where Edward Everett Horton is sensational.
Well, I'm sure I like Horton, Gracie.
Gracie, what about me?
Oh, and you like Horton, too, George.
Well, it's quite encouraging.
By the way, Tony, isn't your picture going into the Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Sure, John, and don't miss it. It's a beauty.
I'll say it's a beauty, John. It's one of the prettiest theaters in Hollywood.
Oh, is it? Really? Where is it, George?
Where is it? Don't you know Grauman's Chinese?
No, but I know my laundryman is.
Look, it's very hard for me to stand here and talk with an empty head.
George, you're just self-conscious.
Yes, on your mother's side.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Gracie, who's in this picture, College Swing, with you?
Well, there's Edward Everett Horton, and Betty Grable, and Jackie Coogan, and Ben Blue, and Florence George, and John Payne, and Cecil Cunningham.
Oh, Gracie, haven't you forgotten somebody?
Let me see. Martha Ray.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Gracie, you're still forgetting somebody. Now, I'll give you a little hint. He's medium build, and he's quite good looking.
Well, sort of pretty, but...
And he wears clothes well.
Yes, and baby blue eyes.
Oh, now wait. And he tells jokes well, and he has a nice personality, and he's on the radio, and his name starts with a B?
That's right.
Bob Hope.
You guessed it. Tony the Tall.
And see you and I as we were in days gone by, when the mighty organ played "Oh, Promise Me." I was yours, you were mine. It was orange blossom time when the mighty organ. The day I placed that ring upon your finger will forever linger in my
Martin, 20th Century Fox star singing "When the Organ Played Oh, Promise Me" on the One Rose. You know, Tony, there are lots of singers on the air, but your voice has got something that's a little bit different.
Thank you, George.
Yes, Tony's voice is delicious.
Yes, it's adorable.
Oh, it's crisp, it's crunchy.
Yes, and with sugar and cream, it makes a safe breakfast.
Better.
Yeah. Gracie, that happens to be what John Conte says about grape nuts.
Well, if it's good enough for grape nuts, and grape nuts are good enough for millions of people, then it certainly ought to be good enough for Tony, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean. I have an idea. Gracie, did you have to study nights to become an imbecile?
No, I was smarter than the rest of the kids. I didn't have to study.
You must have been a pretty bright imbecile.
I was. Right. When I went to school, I studied art and sewing.
Art and sewing?
Yes.
And did you learn anything about art?
Yes, I found out he was married, so I gave him up.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And what about sewing?
I'm sewing him now for breach of promise.
Well, I sewing that coming, and I didn't duck in. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I can't stop me. I just go on forever.
George, old boy.
Yes, Ray.
How do you like my tie?
I know. It's brand new, and you got it 4 years ago.
Oh, no. I got it from Mrs. Noble for Christmas.
Well, it's very pretty, Ray.
It can also be used as an umbrella cover.
Oh, go away. Go. Go play with your boy.
No, it took me about 3 hours to put it on this morning. You see, I forgot to take the umbrella out.
Ray, this talk of yours is driving me silly.
Yeah, me too. George, let's talk about my sister.
I'm not interested in your sister.
Neither is Mr. Phillips.
Oh, Mr. Phillips?
Yep.
Who is Mr. Phillips?
Oh, he's the fellow she was supposed to elope with.
Oh, I see.
And she was engaged to him for 5 years, but it wasn't long enough.
The engagement wasn't long enough.
No, the ladder.
Oh, the ladder. The ladder wasn't long enough.
No, you see, it wouldn't reach to her third floor of the window.
So what?
So we eloped with the girl on the second floor.
Call that quite a twist.
Yes, some but twist. She married the fellow on the fourth floor, and they're living happily on the fifth floor.
I see. Gracie, you forgot to mention the sixth floor.
Well, that's another story.
Oh, it is.
But it isn't as good as my Misty story. Now, my Misty
story... You see,
story...
Tony, all I did was try to compliment you on your song, and look what I started.
Well, if that one mention caused all this talk, I wonder what would happen if I told Gracie I hired a secretary just to answer my fan mail.
You're kidding. Got yourself a secretary just to answer your fan mail?
Sure. Sometimes I get a whole stack of mail.
Oh, then he has to answer your bills, too, huh?
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I killed that guy. I did that with my own little hatchet.
Say, Johnny.
Yes, Johnny.
Will you call my secretary, Godfrey? He's out in the hall.
Right.
Oh, Godfrey.
Wise guy, eh? Hmm. I'll prove you I get about 500 fan letters a week.
This way, Godfrey. Tony, here's your secretary.
Yes, sir.
Godfrey, this is Mr. Burns, Miss Allen, Mr. Noble, and Mr. Conte.
All right, Mr. Martin. I'll read it back to you. Mr. Burns, Miss Allen, Mr. Noble, Mr. Conte, gentlemen. Continue, Mr. Martin.
Oh, this is going to be fine.
No, Godfrey. I just brought you in to prove something. How many fan letters did I get today?
Just a postcard from Alice Faye, sir.
And it probably came collect.
Hey, Godfrey, you look familiar to me. Do you buy your clothes at Bullock's?
No, miss.
At the Pig and Whistle?
Pig and Whistle?
Yes.
Gracie, you don't buy clothes at the Pig and Whistle. That's a restaurant.
My brother got a coat there.
Oh, quiet. So, Tony, your fan mail is a postcard from your wife, huh?
Oh, yeah? Godfrey, how many fan letters did you answer Saturday?
600 letters, sir.
600 fan letters?
You see, Saturdays I work for Bing Crosby, sir.
Oh, you do, huh?
Godfrey, do you answer any fan mail for Clark Gable?
Yes, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Well, and how do you like my handwriting?
Beautiful.
Oh, what do you do on Tuesdays and Saturdays? Sunday?
I work for Robert Taylor and John Barrymore.
Don't you get a day off?
For sure, on Monday, when he answers Tony's fan mail.
That's the day I'll take off, too. Don't mind her, Tony. She doesn't know what time it is.
Mr. Burns, maybe you'd like to buy her a watch. I can get you one 10% above wholesale.
You also sell watches?
Yeah, I'm out to make a dollar.
Oh, I can see that.
Godfrey, you certainly look familiar here. Don't buy your clothes at Bullock's, huh? Do you ride horseback?
No, miss.
Do you play tennis?
No, miss.
Do you dance?
Yes, miss.
Oh, good. Then let's dance.
Oh, quiet. The whole thing is giving me a headache.
Mr. Burns, would you like to buy some aspirin?
Tony, what is this secretary of yours? A department store?
Why, George?
I bet he sold you the suit you're wearing.
I think, Godfrey, why don't you sell George the suit he's wearing?
Why doesn't he sell me the suit I'm wearing?
Yes, it will certainly fit better than the one you've got on, old chap.
Look, Ray, will you go away and take Godfrey with you?
Hold on, Godfrey.
Now, George, you can't talk that way to Tony's secretary, and I think you ought to apologize to him.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Allen. No hard feelings, Mr. Burns. You smoke?
Why, yes, Godfrey.
Good. Will you buy your cigars for me?
What do you like a guy like that? He sells aspirin, cigars, watches, suits, and he's also a secretary.
Oh, Godfrey, I just still can't play
suits. Can't play suits.
You're sure you don't buy your clothes at Bullock's? Huh?
No, miss.
You said no.
Were you at Lady Cameron's party Sunday?
No, miss.
No. Weren't you in the upper box at the opening of the Metropolitan Grand Opera season?
No, miss.
No.
Look, Gracie, this can
go on. Now, wait a minute, George. Wait. Wasn't your picture in the newspaper watching the coronation in England?
No, miss.
No. Oh, I've got it. You're the doorman at the Trocadero.
That's right.
That's all I want to know, right? I played some of your records at a party last night, and the guests ate them up.
No, did they really, George? Are they cheaper than sandwiches?
I wouldn't know, Ray. I never played a sandwich.
Oh, you should try one sometime.
I will.
George, do you know what this conversation of yours and Ray's is doing to our listeners?
No. What?
Well, it's keeping them from hearing about my mystery.
Oh, yeah. You're writing another mystery.
Well, yes. It's a murder mystery, and it takes place in an expensive nightclub, and the title is Slay It With Music.
Slay It With Music?
Yes, or Death Begins at $8.40.
Well, it's a nice title.
Do you want to hear about it?
No.
You don't want to hear about the mysterious murder that was committed in the nightclub right under the head waiter's nose?
No, Gracie, I don't.
You're not interested in knowing why the pearls were stolen and how the detectives had to eat 500 oysters before they found the pearls?
No, Gracie, I'm not.
Oh, well, then you wouldn't like to know how the busboy tracked down the murder by identifying the way to fingerprints in the suit.
No, Gracie, I wouldn't.
All right, then, listen.
Oh, nuts.
The play starts with a wealthy diner eating some ham and eggs in the nightclub.
In other words, the scene is laid in the nightclub.
Well, yes, but the eggs were laid in the hen house.
Gracie, I don't want to hear any more about this mystery of yours.
Well, I was coming to that, George. Johnny Conti.
Yes, Gracie.
Now, you play the part of the wealthy diner.
The wealthy diner who's eating ham and eggs.
Mm-hmm. But your feminine companion, an exotic, exciting, exquisite, exhilarating creature, is eating lobster.
Why is this exotic, exciting, exquisite, exhilarating creature eating lobster?
I kind of, I don't like ham and eggs.
I see what you mean. Gracie, do you have to tell me about this mystery play?
Well, no, but I will.
I say.
Tony.
I'm waiting, Gracie. What part do I play?
Well, you play a suspicious-looking character in a checkered coat.
Checkered coat?
A checkered coat.
Where will I get a checkered coat?
In the check room.
Mm. I suppose Tony finds a loud vest in the vestibule.
Yeah, and a pair of pants in the back.
In the back. Well, all right, Tony. You're a suspicious character, and Johnny Conti is a wealthy diner.
Oh, yes. And just as Johnny finishes his ham and eggs, somebody hollers murder, and they find the orchestra leader dead.
The orchestra leader is dead?
Well, everybody thinks he's dead, but they discover that it's only Ray Noble.
Well, that's a natural mistake, don't you think so?
Yes, I think so.
I do, too. George, old boy,
yeah.
Did I hear somebody say that I was dead?
No, right. There's a mistake. The people just think you're dead.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to hear that, old man, because if I'm dead, I ought to stop paying my life insurance.
Pay it. Ray, if they ever get a look at you, you'll be able to collect it.
Now, well, anywho, the police finally rush to the nightclub, and while they're there, the proprietor robs them. That's you, George.
I'm the proprietor of the nightclub, and I rob the police.
Well, sure, you charge them $3.50 for a steak sandwich.
I do, huh?
Yes.
Mm. And how do the police take it?
Without salt, pepper, or ketchup.
Without salt, pepper, or ketchup?
Well, yeah, you see, Judge, we're not allowed to use any spicy stuff on the radio.
I think I get what you mean, yeah.
And now the plot really thickens.
You mean sickens?
That's what I mean.
That's what I thought you meant.
So, one of the cops grabs Tony, snaps the handcuffs on him, and he's charged with murder.
Who have I murdered, Gracie?
Well, you haven't murdered anybody, but you admit the murder and show the police the body just to throw them off the trail.
Well, that's a quick piece of thinking.
Well, Tony didn't think of it. I thought of it.
Well, that explains it, yeah. You know, there's one thing that just puzzles me, George. There usually is, Ray. Oh, quiet. When I go down to collect my life insurance, do I get somebody to swear that I'm dead, or will they take my word for it?
Well, if they doubt your word, Ray, just send them to me.
Oh, it's awfully sweet of you.
Oh, don't mention it. Oh, don't mention it.
Gracie, don't I do anything else in this mystery but sit and eat ham and eggs?
Oh, sure you do, Johnny. When the murderer fires the first shot from his six-shooter, you get so excited you kiss me.
You just kiss it,
and when he fires the third shot, you kiss me 3 times.
But you lucky fellow, yeah.
When you hear the sixth shot, you kiss me 6 times.
All you do is kiss it.
And when you hear the 12th shot, you kiss me 12 times.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. 12th shot? I thought the murderer only had a six-shooter.
Yeah, but I carry a gun, too.
Oh, I forgot. You wrote this play.
Yes.
I can understand. Come in.
Oh, it's Miss Eggnob. Sit right down, Miss Eggnob. I'll be right with you.
Who is Miss Eggnob?
Well, she's the lady who's going to do the screaming in my mystery. She's a professional screamer, you know. So the police offer
a professional screamer?
Oh, yes. She's one of the best screamers on the radio. Miss Eggnob, will you scream for George, please? How do you like it?
Well, I think she's positively wonderful.
I wouldn't hire her until I gave her a screen test.
A screen test? Well, well. I bet she gets plenty of sugar, too.
Well, sure. There's only one thing that's better with sugar and screen. And
that's great,
Miss.
I thought that was coming. I'm glad to know that.
Miss Eggnob screened on the Freddie Allen show last week.
You don't mean
it. I do. Miss Eggnob, show George how you screamed on the Freddie Allen show last week.
She's certainly going to frighten the kids.
No, Miss Eggnob.
She made a mistake?
That's the way you screamed on the Jack Benny show. Now, scream the way you screamed on the Freddie Allen show. Yeah, well, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Has more personality.
Yes.
Sort of ballistic to the last scream, yeah.
Now, you see, George, even a screamer can make a mistake.
I could see that, girlie, yeah. George, old boy, I don't want to start anything, but did I hear somebody scream? Ray, what would you say was the past tense of scream?
Well, I should say, I think the right word would be scram.
Scram. Well, that goes for me, too. I'll see you later.
You know, George...
Certainly ad-libbing nothing.
Miss Eggnob comes from a family of screamers.
You don't say.
Her whole family screams for a living.
It's such a
scream. Oh, yes, yes. Miss Eggnob, show George how your mother screams. That's pretty good, isn't it, George, for a woman 75 years old?
Yeah. Is that the woman just... That wasn't the sound man laying an egg, was it?
No. Why, her grandmother was a screamer. Yeah. And her grandfather was a screamer. Her mother was a screamer. Her father was a screamer. Her brothers and sisters are screamers. And she's a screamer.
Right down the line, huh?
Oh, sure. They're a scream line family.
A scream line? Well, that's enough. Ray, the music. Gracie will now sing by Mere Distant Shame. Sing it, Gracie.
Of all the boys I've met, and I've known some, until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and the whole world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you, deserve expressions that really fit you. And so I've racked my brain, hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By me, you're bit to shame. Please let me explain. By me, you're bit to shame that you're grand. By me, you're bit to shame. Again, I'll explain. It means you're the grandest in the land. I could say, Bella, Bella. even say wonderful, each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I try to explain by mere Mr. Shame, so kiss me and say you understand. By mere Mr. Shame, please let me explain. By mere Mr. Shame means that you're grand. By mere Mr. Shame, again I'll explain. It means you're the grandest in the land. I could say ving, 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 da, della, 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 della. But what I mean, 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 mean is you're swell, 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 swell. I try to explain why we're this to shame. So kiss me and say you understand, or do you?
Thank you, folks. Thank you.
Now let's hear from the man in charge of the minutes for this meeting. You've all met him, John Conte.
I'm sorry, George. I was just reading this letter from a friend of mine in New York State. He says they're having an old-fashioned winter up there. Cold with snow and ice and all the rest of it.
Hey, John, if you've finished your weather report, we might get on with it.
But George, that weather report, as you call it, has a great deal to do with what I want to say about greatness. Because, ladies and gentlemen, most of you listeners live in parts of the country where winters are cold. And in cold weather, you burn up more energy. So some people feel that they ought to eat a hot cereal on cold mornings. That there is some extra nourishment to be derived from a cereal simply because it's hot. Well, this is not true. The amount of nourishment you get from a cereal depends upon the grain from which it is made, and not upon the temperature at which it's served. Therefore, grape nuts, which are ready to serve and save you trouble, are just as good for you as any hot cereal of equal nourishment. And those crisp, crunchy, golden brown kernels taste so downright delicious, whether they start off your breakfast in Maine or sunny California, you'll always say they're great. So remember to ask your grocer tomorrow for grape nuts.
Good night.
Okay. This is John Conte saying good night for the makers of grape nuts.
Included on the program this evening were By Mere Vister Shane from the picture Love, Honor, and Behave, and Nice Work If You Can Get It from Damsel in Distress. This is the National Broadcasting Company.